Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Good afternoon, everyone. Coming up on 3:05 here in Eastern Iowa. Very pleasant weather-wise day. That's good for the folks in Fort Dodge at the state softball tournament. We'll bring you up to date on that in just a minute. This is the Gym Class with Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann this week. Scott Unash on vacation. We'll see him again on Monday. As always, the Gym Class presented by Third Base Brewery. Excuse me, on Blair's Ferry Road. Great for a quick lunch, catch a game after work, or bring the family in for an affordable and delicious meal. And if you haven't already asked, do so about the Third Base Mug Club. Very affordable price, gets you a lot of happy hour price beers and appetizers. Again, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids. Proud sponsor of the Gym Class. Hope everyone's having a great day out there coming up. We're very much looking forward to the return of Cal Eldred, our friend who was a normal guest, a regular guest on Tuesdays up until his hiring as pitching coach of the Kansas City Royals. Cal in that capacity right now, but has graciously agreed to appear today and talk about the first half of the season and many other things. Home run derby last night, we led off with that. And I thought it was a pretty good theater. Now, I'm not a huge home run derby fan, but I did tune in while entertaining family and friends last night and caught the semis and the end. I thought if you're a Cub fan, you'd be very proud of Kyle Schwarber. I thought he put on a terrific show. Javi Baez, not so much, but just edge out by Max Muncy of the Dodgers. But Kyle, I know you caught a lot of it. What'd you think?
I thought it was awesome. A few years back, they got a little too fancy with the format. They kind of turned it into a team thing for a year or two. And for that short time, maybe I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, I really didn't like it. But they didn't get too fancy with the format. It's just head to head here. I thought there was great drama. There was a sense of urgency to the whole thing, especially I think it was Schwarber and Bregman. They end up going, Schwarber edges him out 21-20 after only hitting like maybe 3 or 4 home runs the first.
Hoskins, was it?
Whoever it was,
might have been, yeah.
Schwarber beat somebody 21-20, and from that point on, I mean, the whole thing was good. But from that point on, I stuck with me as, you know, this is really good drama. This is really good entertainment. And I wish Javi could have made it through, but kind of I got to invoke Todd Bromelkamp for the second day in a row. He, just like Todd said yesterday, something will happen in the home run derby, and somebody who baseball could actually do something fun with, like Javi Baez, he's not even going to make it through just because that's what happens in baseball. And of course, Max Muncy, you know, half the people don't even know Max Muncy. He eliminates Javi, goes on to have a really poor performance in the next round after that. It would have been more exciting if Javi could have moved on, but with all that said, Schwarber did great. I thought the event was awesome.
Well, the big controversy, of course, and we're going to hit it right at the top here, Bryce Harper of the Washington Nationals. Washington hosting this derby and the All-Star game. Bryce Harper regaled in a patriotic headband, sleeves, and he won the tournament. Not without controversy. Plenty have alleged that Bryce Harper and his father, who was pitching to him, broke the rules. Cheated, so to speak, because the rules state right now that the pitcher cannot deliver the next pitch without the previous batted ball landing, whether it's in the stands or in the outfield, whatever it may be. And we ask you at KGYMRadio.com today, our poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, and it goes like this. Did Bryce Harper and his father cheat during last night's home run derby? yes or no. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Couple things. Watching the video, the replays, I thought it was clear that Bryce Harper's dad was delivering pitches before the previous batted ball landed. Others have suggested that Hoskins and his pitcher and Schwarber and his pitcher did the same thing. Now, do we really need to go to the replays of every hitter and make sure everybody complied by the rules? If I'm going to be a stickler, I'm going to say, you know what? Rules are rules. 55 miles an hour is 55 miles an hour. If I decide to speed, I'm going to risk a ticket. If you break this rule, you run the risk of being disqualified. Do you really think that Bryce Harper, performing in his hometown, was going to be disqualified?
Right. I'm kind of with you. You know, I actually noticed it live with Bryce Harper when he did it. I didn't notice the other guys, but there's just such a timing aspect to it where it doesn't, something just doesn't feel right. And then you notice, oh, he's throwing those balls just a little early. And I kind of have a few different thoughts on this, and they're similar to yours. First of all, this thing was, I'm not going to say rigged, because, you know, I don't want to invoke, I don't want to suggest that there was anything insidious going on or nefarious, but
it was the outcome of baseball.
Yeah,
preferred.
This was Bryce Harper's night. It's in his hometown. He's, you know, one of the biggest stars in baseball. He's dressed up. He's got the bandana. You know, baseball needed and wanted Bryce Harper to win that event last night. And I think, you know, they even cut to Schwarber while Bryce Harper's, you know, going in that final round after he started pitching a little too early. And Schwarber was clapping. Everybody was fired up. I don't really think anybody was too upset, and I'll guarantee some of the players on those sidelines noticed what was going on, and nobody was really upset about it. Secondly,
go ahead.
I don't even think that should be a rule, because one of the nice things about the Home Run Derby to me is that it is nonstop action. There's been the argument that baseball takes too long. Well, some people say it doesn't take too long; it's just too slow paced. There's not enough action. It's not concentrated enough. With the Home Run Derby, you're getting repeated home runs all the time, every single pitch. Why not go ahead and speed it up a little bit? Why do you have to wait for it to land? I mean, maybe it makes it easier to count, but to me, that would just add a little bit even more excitement, just because it's a little bit more urgent, it's a little more fast-paced. I don't even think it should be a rule.
Counting is not a big deal. They had an issue in the hot dog eating contest, and they went to the replays and got it right.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, you can do that. But I'm with you. I think it's a stupid rule, especially in the last 30, 45 seconds. Let him rapid fire.
Yeah.
Especially if you're behind. But again, rules are rules. And 4295 brings up an interesting point in the text line. There's an ump there. They gave him the go-ahead. Seemed the same for everyone. And if you didn't notice, there's an umpire behind the batter and the catcher signaling to the pitcher when he can deliver that next pitch. Now, I didn't see replays of the umpire giving the signal or not. All I saw was Bryce Harper's dad delivering a pitch before a couple, three baseballs landed, and that's against the rules, I guess. Does anyone really care?
No.
Cub fans care because it hurt their man.
Yeah, and honest to God, I just wanted Bryce Harper to have a good time, and that it came against Schwarber, you know, it's kind of a perfect situation. I just wanted Bryce Harper to spend some time having fun with his future fellow Cubs. We did get a couple texts, though, just here from 9579 and 8721 saying that the reason for the rule to let the ball land is for the kids in the outfield. And honestly, it's cool that the kids are out there. I'm sure they're having a very fun time. But if they have that silly rule, you know, you could probably get 25, 30 extra home runs throughout the entire event if you take that waiting period off. And I mean, what do we have that for? So 25, 30 kids can have a good fun time in the outfield. And I'm just throwing this out there. This has been the way as long as I've been observing the Home Run Derby. I don't know where they find those kids, because some of them look like they have literally never approached a baseball before.
Yeah, wait till one of them gets donked in the head. then they won't be out there anymore.
Quite frankly, it's a miracle.
No, I think it's great that the kids get to participate and all that, but the texters are right. It's for the safety of those kids out there. I mean, could you have a home run derby without the kids in the outfield? You bet you could.
Yeah, and I said, it's fun for the kids. I'm glad they're having fun, but I think the event would be a little bit better if you could get rid of that timer, and I guess that would mean getting rid of the kids.
Win or lose, I thought Schwarber put on a heck of a show.
He really
did. I don't think people appreciate how difficult it is to hit 40-some home runs in three rounds.
And you could tell he was gassed
yes.
in the finals.
Yeah.
It was awesome to see him. I think it was the second round, the 21-20 that I was talking about. He was so excited. And even as a Cubs fan, you see him, you know, he's got a little bit of personality. You know, he's got a little bit of fire. But that was the most emotion I've ever seen out of Kyle Schwarber.
Mm-hmm. 319-366-1600. What did you think about last night's home run derby? Did Bryce Harper and his father cheat? You really care? Is it that big a deal? 1302. The rule is there for safety, as others have said. Cub fan, I don't care who won. Don't make it a rule then. Rules are there so it applies, so it's apples and apples. Maybe she would let them use quirk bats.
Oh, God. did you catch the softball guys in the middle? They brought a couple, two softball players from the Navy and the Army.
Mm.
And it was the first guy... Honestly, compared to the second guy, I don't know if anybody else saw this, so I won't spend too much time. But the second guy, I believe, was for the Army. It just totally jacked. This guy was a soldier. He probably spent plenty of time in the field. And then the Navy's guy was just kind of a string bean. And, you know, to no surprise, the first guy didn't get a single home run, and the second guy just blasted like his third or fourth swing. It was kind of cool to see those guys out there.
We may revisit this here down the road, but 5 minutes, we're going to hook up with Cal Eldred, pitching coach of the Kansas City Royals, friend of the show. I want to get another baseball item in. Reports rampant that Manny Machado may be headed to the Dodgers. The Phillies and the Brewers apparently still working hard to be involved in any kind of deal in that regard. And, I mean, to me, for the longest time, it makes sense for the Dodgers to go out and get a shortstop because Corey Seager's out for the year. And if Machado's the one, the Dodgers just recently took first place in the National League West. I mean, you got to believe that'll put them over the top, right?
You would definitely think so. And we were just talking about that division yesterday. There's four teams right there within striking distance of each other. But the Dodgers got off to a slow start. So if you split the first half into halves, if you split the season into quarters, the Dodgers are really hot right now and playing the best baseball in that division. You would think bringing in Machado would definitely put them over the top. My question there is that do they maybe plan to move somebody somewhere though? Because it's the Dodgers. You've got a lot of money. You've got plenty of talent. Are you really going to give up whatever that price may be for a 1 year rental for Machado? And I think the 1 year rental would be a better idea for a team like the Brewers, maybe a team like the Phillies. Whereas the Dodgers, it definitely would probably give them the division, but I just don't know if it's worth it for them because, I mean, do they maybe try to sign him and then move Turner off third, move Seager to third from short? I'm not sure. I kind of hate to say this, but I would like to see him go to the Brewers.
You gotta live here in the now, don't you?
A little bit, but I think there are certain teams like the Brewers or the Phillies that have to live more in the now than a team like the Dodgers. Because with the Dodgers, the money you have, how attractive of a city and a franchise that is, I think you have the flexibility to have a little bit longer-term picture than a team like Milwaukee or Philadelphia.
Could be a deal as soon as Machado leaves the All-Star game tonight.
Yep, they say,
you never know.
Say it's in place already.
The All-Star Major League Baseball All-Star game tonight, 7 p.m. on all three frequencies, 1600 107.5 and 106.3 FM. You can catch all the action right here on KGYM. Let's get a quick update from the state softball tournament in Fort Dodge. Xavier and Newton just wrapping up, and Newton has won it 1-0 and a walk-off home run in the final inning. So Xavier will play one more game against Dallas Center Grimes in the Consolations tomorrow at 11:30. Again, they don't play out every place anymore in the state softball tournament. Very, very disappointing for Xavier to lose that first round game, but that figured to be a toss-up anyway. Number 10, Newton, and number 11, Cedar Rapids Xavier. Newton prevailing 1-0. Underway right now in the 3A Consolations, Benton Community in action. Independence upcoming at 3:30 against Sergeant's Bluff Luton. Tonight in the big school quarterfinals, City High against Pleasant Valley. And at 7:30, Cedar Rapids Jefferson against Fort Dodge. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will get reunited with Cal Eldred here on the Gym Class.
Acme Tools is celebrating 70 years of serving the contractor, woodworker, and do-it-yourselfer, and we want you to celebrate with us. This week only, receive up to a $150 gift card with select purchases. Get free tools and accessories with qualifying purchases, and instant trade-ins up to $100 on select power tools, plus many more in-store specials and daily deals. Don't miss the 70th anniversary sale at your nearest Acme Tools location on Blair's Ferry Road in Cedar Rapids. Do your best work.
Getting on top of the pile of moving toward a better life for you and your family starts by making better money. Working nights means your days are free, so no daycare costs. And if one of the kids needs you to take him to the doctor at 10 a.m., you don't have to take time off to do it, and you'll have excellent health insurance, too. That's what working at PMX can do for you. They're paying over $17 an hour, and they're hiring right now. Learn more at ipmx.com.
At Z102.9,
The Gym,
and Smart FM,
we live local.
Every morning I grab a cappuccino from a local coffee shop.
Keep my hair looking sharp at the local stylist.
Stay in shape at the local gym.
Hang out with my friends at the local sports bar.
Take my daughter to local shows.
Play golf at the local course.
Keep my money in a local bank.
Share what I've got with local charities.
Spend local.
Source local.
Love local.
Live local.
We're local radio stations. Join us and put your money where your heart is.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the Gym Class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Welcome back to the Gym Class. First hour of 4 hours of local programming. Following us, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on this Tuesday. Beautiful day going outside. Hope you're enjoying it, and hopefully you brought KGYM Radio along with you. About 20, 25 minutes, we'll give you an opportunity to win a $30 gift card to La Cantina to be spent at any of the three locations here in the metro area. Right now, we would like to welcome back our friend Cal Eldred, pitching coach of the Kansas City Royals. Hello, Cal.
How are you, Mark?
I'm doing very well. I missed you, my friend.
Yeah, I've missed our weekly chats, and always interesting to get your guys' take on what's going on in Major League Baseball and of course, a lot of the other surrounding baseball in the area. And then, once again, then I run into people around the area and have more discussions, so it's fun. Miss that.
Yeah, a lot of our listeners do miss the segment, but certainly understanding because you are pitching coach of the Kansas City Royals right now. And let's spend a little time about with your team. Give us, we know the record. We know that about the Royals. How would you give us the state of the Royals, Cal?
Well, I think there's a couple things going on. One, we feel like we're still really supported down in the Kansas City area and with all the Royals fans that are around, because they have a really good idea of what the whole team, the organization's going through. They had a lot of success in 14, won a World Series in 15, tried to continue to do that both in 16 and 17. And we knew going into this year, like our fans did too, that we're into a rebuilding process. We are still trying to obviously win every game that we go out and play, but we're also doing it with some very young players, some players who are veteran guys, a mix of veteran guys who are trying to continue to further their careers. Mike Moustakas was able to come back. Escobar was able to come back, and at a reduced price. But those guys, we realize those guys moving forward, it may be pretty slim that they're going to be a part of what the club moving forward. But the Royals, the fans have been fantastic. The organization, talking to Mr. Glass and the support staff in the front office, Dayton Moore, they know what we're going through. And it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of staying positive and believing in the players that we have. But that goes to all the way to the players of Mark that we just drafted. Because you can see, if you look at our draft, we went really pitching heavy. And we went a lot of college players. So it's something that we realize is not going to be a 6 to 12 to 18 month fix. This is going to take a little while, but it's going to be a tough process, but it can be a fun process too, especially once you get down the road here in a year or two and we're having more success.
Yeah, Cal, I've read both positive and negative, not only about the Royals in general, but about you as pitching coach, about Ned Yost as manager, and I guess that comes with the territory and maybe people that aren't privy to all the instruction and what goes on on the bench, in the locker room, in the bullpen, what have you. So I guess patience is a virtue, isn't it?
It really is. And that's why I say, you know, you go to a Royals game and you still see a large number of fans and you're around Kansas City and you know they would love to be getting the wins that the club did, especially in 14 and 15. But a lot of these fans waited a long time, 20 years, for this to happen, and they know that it's going to take some patience to rebuild because we don't have the resources to go out and buy free agent guys, not let alone even keep some of the guys that have been key players during those years of 14, 15, 16. So, and, you know, Mark, I'm obviously doing media stuff. I know that it's better for me to keep my nose to the grindstone and my ears also. Because there are opinions out there. There's no question. And a lot of it's frustrated fans. They want to see their team win. I understand that. But that doesn't change the fact that we've got to work our tails off and show confidence in the guys we have and make them better for sure.
Well, let's be fair. With every measure of criticism, there are positives. And I think one, Cal, and you can talk about it, is Duffy, your starting pitcher, who in four of the last five outings has given up a total of one earned run in 25 innings. The outlier in between there was an outing against Cleveland where he allowed 6-6. But I read a couple stories where he actually credits you, Cal, with turning that curveball around, the curveball development.
Well, the thing with Danny is I go back to a lot of people, and a lot of people don't know that Danny had elbow surgery in the off season, and he had some floating bones chips in his elbow that he needed to get taken care of. And so he had that operation to take care of that. Once he got to spring training, I could see he was behind and that he needed to have some time to catch up. What Major League Baseball doesn't afford you time is time a lot of times to catch up. And I think he's really just starting, probably in the last 6 weeks, he's really been closer to himself. And then knowing Danny from the past, I just knew him a little bit. But he was trying to pitch with a slider. He has a plus changeup and a really good fastball. But from April until middle of May, you saw his fastball starting to get better and better. And his fastball is probably as good now as it's ever been. But also I saw him throw some curveballs and how he was trying to deliver it. We made a couple little changes. And, man, I'll tell you, it's been pretty good, especially this last month. And I actually think him throwing his curveball makes his slider better. So that makes him a four-pitch pitcher. And Danny he wants to be a workhorse. He's a guy you'd really like him, Mark. He likes to run distance the day after or 2 days after. And he's got a lot of old school to him in the way he likes to train. So Danny's been a guy that the organization was really counting on, but since he's gotten away from that surgery and he's gotten in good throwing shape, he's been really good.
I know a couple outings he was tough on my Twins, but Brad Keller, which Brad Keller should we expect to see going forward?
Well, I think what you're going to see is Brad, boy, he took off, came out of the bullpen. He's a Rule 5 kid, so he's 22, 23. I think he's going to turn 23 here soon. But he's really young. But you can see him. You see him. He's a big old kid. Long arm action. Throws, can throw hard, both four-seamers and two-seamers. And he's learning quickly. He's got the makeup of a probably at least a number two, maybe at times an ace on a staff. But what he's seeing is the league is going to make some adjustments to him, and he needs to stay on top of his game. But I think we're just going to see a kid. What I like to see is the kid come out and give us a chance to win as many times as he possibly can, and then let's see what we can build. He needs to work on his breaking ball and get more of a consistent breaking ball. But the kid can go out and pitch with just his fastball, and he's got a pretty good changeup. So a lot of his off-speed stuff is going to get better, and I think that's what I expect from Brad. But this kid wants to win, and he nothing phases him. So I think we're just going to see a kid that is going to continue to mature, because there are a lot of moments that don't really rattle him too much. And he likes to pitch. So he's been a great pickup by our pro scouts, getting him Rule 5 from the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Cal Eldred, Kansas City Royals pitching coach and former major leaguer, joining us on the Jim Klaus. Kyle, I know you're anxious to ask Cal about those draft picks that he referred to.
Yeah, you mentioned the draft, and your first five picks were all pitchers. The top two, a couple really highly touted guys, Brady Singer and Jackson Coher. How exciting was that for you when you see those picks rolling in, especially Coher available in the second round, and Singer as well, kind of slipped in the first. How awesome was it that those guys fell into your lap?
Well, you know, I'll be pleased and feeling great about it in about 24 months, maybe, when they're in Kansas City. And that's the plan. You know, that's the thing. I mean, I was in their position, and as an organization drafts college pitchers with those top picks, they hope that at some point within the next 2 to 3, maybe even 4 years, those guys are in your rotation on your major league team. I've had a chance to meet both Jackson and Brady. Great kids, big guys. Coher, obviously, you know, he wants to work on his fastball and gain some weight. But these kids are going to have an adjustment period, obviously, to professional baseball. We're going to do a lot of things. You know, we're going to use their fastball more than they probably did at Florida. Not probably, for sure, because they both have really good fastballs. But their off-speed stuff is also what allowed them to be drafted where they were. And when you get arms like that, and the Lynch kid from Virginia, and I mean, it's something that I think our amateur scouts did a really good job on. And you keep going into the draft, and we kept taking some college arms, and we had to really restock our minor leagues, because what a lot of Royals fans know is that the Royals gave up 5 to 6 guys' arms to get Cueto and to get Ben Zobrist, and those were the guys that helped them win a World Series. And so we have to replenish that supply, and that's what we're hoping that this draft and even the draft before was able to do.
Before the break, you played all the top teams, shall we say, in the American League. Yesterday I maybe cut my Twins short a little bit, but I called the Central for Cleveland. I think that's pretty safe. I don't know. Boston and New York clearly going to fight to the end. I think the interesting division is out there in the West, when, you know, Oakland's there, Houston, Seattle. I mean, one team in the American League, Cal, a very good team, is not going to make the playoffs.
There's no question, and you said it. We this last month, we kind of ran the gauntlet, and playing Cleveland, playing Houston, playing Boston. We played Seattle. And, you know, we've played Minnesota. These teams, I would say, you know, teams like Cleveland could probably use a little more bullpen help. Offensively, defensively, their starting rotation is very, very good. Boston, I don't know if they need anything. That team is something else. They're a handful. The Yankees are pretty much the same way. But you know that these teams will add. Minnesota, they're in a position where the Twins, they could add – and still make some noise. They've needed some health too. You know that it's and they could use probably more starting pitching. So it's something that, you know, and I keep jumping back to pitching. That's what teams need, but these teams are really tough. And I, you know, we played the Mariners. You do not want to play that team in a short series. So they're a team that if they can get in and they can get into a short series with somebody, they can do some damage. They could knock somebody out, the Yankees out or Cleveland out, and a team that you really think will probably be in the American League Championship Series. So you're exactly right, Mark. These Houston stacked, you know, they need some bullpen help. Their offense is pretty treacherous to go through, but their starting pitching has been fantastic. So you're right. There's going to be a team or two that doesn't even make the playoffs that are going to be really should be playoff teams.
You spent a lot of time in St. Louis, Cal, as a player and a coach, executive. Mike Matheny fired last week, and I expect you to be prejudiced on this question, Cal, but maybe you can give us your best read. And I know you're close to Mike Matheny, and, you know, just give us a read. I mean, he was kind of in the middle of that front office deal with Dexter Fowler being called out and whatnot. Your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting because I understand managers and coaches are in a position to where they are going to take a lot of heat at times. And most of the time when the team's successful, you read stories about the players and how good they're playing. You may even read how the organization put the team together. And baseball is interesting. I've been talking to our own general manager, Dayton Moore. You know, he knows. He says, well, I'm responsible for putting this team together. So it depends on, you know, from the fans' perspective. And St. Louis is one of those places where mass majority of the time the fans lay the blame on either your general manager, your president, or your manager and the coaches. It's a great place to play. I was there as a player, there being part of the front office, coaching through the minor leagues, and they want to be a playoff team every year. And it's getting tougher and tougher to do that. You have to spend money. You can't have a contract that or two that don't work. And they've been in that position, and it's been tough. They've had a lot of injuries. Yet I do know that there's a business decision to be made, and they're hoping by letting John Mabry and Bill Miller and Mike Matheny go that this sparks the team and that it gets, you know, their term was we need a new voice. Well, you also have to put a voice in there that the players are going to listen to. And that can be a challenge. But the players, I saw a lot of their interviews, and they feel like it's a lot of their fault. And part of it is, but, you know, I'm sure the front office is looking at it like we need a spark to get this team going so that they can make the playoffs. I know that situation down there very intimately. And what I do know is that those three guys gave everything they had to try to make that situation work. And the players realize that from a front office standpoint. As far as I know, you know, I left that organization a couple years ago. And it's something that how you treat people is extremely important. And that's something that I won't forget, and they could learn down there a little bit.
Are you talking about the front office or Matheny or both?
I'm talking more about the front office. It's something that it's really different in the game today, Mark, is that it's tougher because we have a lot of analytics, we have a lot of sabermetrics, and sometimes it's easy to forget that these players are human beings and they have a lot going on in life, and that does dictate a lot of times how they do and how they perform. So there's a lot to it, but when it comes down to it, it's really handling people, and it's about relationships. And when you have good ones, you're usually getting the best from your players and from your coaches and from your front office personnel. So that's an important key that you just can't ever forget.
Appreciate the thoughts there, Cal. News circulating today, Manny Machado perhaps going to the Dodgers, maybe likely so. Phillies and Brewers still a bit in play, apparently, but I know as an American League coach, you'd probably be glad to see Machado out of the league, huh?
Yeah, as a pitching coach, you definitely like to see him out of the league. He makes that, you know, when he's in that lineup there in Baltimore, it causes you to have to pitch to some of the other players that can do some damage. And, you know, when you have to do that, it's you take the best hitter out of a lineup, it makes it a lot easier to really work through a lineup. And, you know, now you may not have to pitch to their second baseman. You may not have to pitch to Davis. You know, you pick and choose who you're going to have to go after. But when Machado's in that lineup, he's the guy that you got to stay away from, and he makes that club a really good club. Throw him on Philly, throw him with the Dodgers, put him in Milwaukee. Milwaukee has a really good offensive team. I think that would really push them over the top. But he's a guy, too, that wants to play defense, which is which is rare to find at times, because there's so many players that they know that they're going to get paid if they drive in runs and hit homers. So he's a guy that wants to be a shortstop, probably play third base on a team to win a championship, but he's a heck of a player.
3:40 on the Gym Class, talking with Cal Elder, just a few more minutes here, and we do appreciate his appearance. He's now with the Kansas City Royals as pitching coach, and we certainly miss his regular visits, but appreciative of his appearance today. Cal, I know several folks follow your boys, very accomplished baseball players. CJ, big part of that Big Ten championship, tournament championship team a couple, 3 years ago. And tell us about CJ's progress in the Royals organization.
Well, he's I say CJ is kind of he's in a unique position. He's actually with our Idaho Falls rookie league team up in Idaho Falls, Idaho. And that league itself is a hitter's league. But what we do a lot of times is send some college pitchers there, guys that we know that can handle innings that may get out of hand, and then turn around, get back out there, and give us two or three zeros. And it's a tough league to pitch in, but he's done pretty well so far. He had, obviously, leaving Iowa last year, he had his elbow surgery at the beginning of the year. He had since he had a tib-fib fracture. When he was a senior in high school, he got all the hardware taken out of that leg. And so he's really worked hard on his delivery and really learning how to use his lower half. And he's done a nice job, and we're just continuing to challenge him to do that even more. So, but he's back to throwing well, and he feels good, and he's making a lot of progress. And he's in a unique position too, because Jeff Supon, his pitching coach up there, and Jeff's known CJ since he's been about 9 or 10 years old, since we were teammates in St. Louis. So it's pretty neat how the world of baseball brings you back around sometimes.
And your younger boy Luke, who just yesterday was playing in the wiffle ball game out in the front yard here at KGYM Studios. Dallas Baptist, and I looked up his stats, Cal. Man, oh man, 7-3 with a 3.28 ERA. And the thing that stuck out to me, 43 Ks and only 4 walks and 57 2/3. Was that a typo?
No. CJ's numbers aren't, you know, his numbers right now, he's walked 4 guys on the year in five starts. So these guys, if there's one thing I would like to know that I've helped these kids with, is learn how to throw strikes.
Mm-hmm.
You get a high school coach, what do they want? They want somebody that can throw strikes. You get a college coach, they want somebody that can throw strikes. Now, if they can throw 95, that's fantastic, but they've got to throw strikes. And that's who Luke is. His velocity's coming. He's a big old kid. He's not that little kid that was in the there by the studio playing wiffle ball anymore. He's bigger than I am. He's about 6'4", 6'5", and about 260. So he's doing great. He loves it at Dallas Baptist. They've got a good program. really, after redshirting his freshman year, has had a great freshman redshirt year and looking forward to this next season. And he actually pitched enough during the season that he's taken some time off this summer and has been home a little bit. But he's got a lot of work to do. He needs to continue to work on his off-speed pitch, his curveball, and he's got a good changeup. And so he's loving what he's doing. But his mom's happy because he's getting his schoolwork done and he's doing a nice job. So as long as he does that, we'll be fine.
You bet. He had a big win over 8th-ranked Southern Mississippi in the regionals. I saw a very good outing.
Yeah, he was really excited. The thing that's been neat is he's enjoyed challenges like that. He pitched at Clemson where they lost 3-2, and he just loves the atmospheres and that he's getting an opportunity to pitch in, and loves his coaching staff down there. They had 7 kids drafted off of their club last year, and so it's a baseball school is what it is, but it's a place where that's their main sport. But it's a great place to go to school, too. So we'll be sending my daughter Emily there. I've got 3 of them out of the house already. She's headed there as a freshman this next year. And so she'll be enjoying the baseball, too.
Before I let you go, are you going to just crank up that popcorn maker tonight and watch the All-Star game and sit back and enjoy?
You know what? I'll probably just watch the highlight of Salvador's at bat or two, but we'll more than likely there'll be some pool time this afternoon, and then there'll be the popcorn machine, and probably if I get stuck down there with the girls, it'll probably be Downton Abbey is what I'll be watching. But at least it'll be popcorn and hot tamales.
Excellent, Cal. Really appreciate the time and. And I know our listeners appreciate you catching up with us as well. And have a good second half, except for the first couple 3 games, okay?
Well, so far we haven't been able to win more than they have. So they've got a good club, Mark. And that stadium, I just tell all the fans, go to Kansas City and see a ball game. Go up to Minnesota and see a ball game. The ballpark up there in Minnesota is beautiful, and it's a great place to watch a game and great atmosphere around that city.
Excellent, Cal. Be well, my friend. Thank you.
You too.
Cal Eldred catching up with us on the Gym Class 347. Appreciate Cal's insight. Wish we could do it more, but duty calls with the Kansas City Royals. And sounds like from your question, Kyle, that pitching maybe in a couple three years will be coming.
A lot of talent there, at least with those top 2 guys. Honestly, baseball, more than any other sport, it's just such a crapshoot, especially with pitchers. Who knows what can happen? But if those guys stay healthy, those are 2 of the best pitchers in the class that they got in the first and second rounds, both much lower than expected.
Let's take a break now. Give you an opportunity to win a $30 gift card to La Cantina. 3 locations here locally in the Fountains. And you can also spend that gift card. The Fountains on Edgewood Road, by the way, downtown Cedar Rapids or in Lincoln View Square in Marion. It's good towards a quick and delicious lunch, margarita after work, takeout dinner, or catering for an upcoming summer party, which the summer is dwindling away here a little bit. But at any rate, caller number 6, you will win that $30 gift card to La Cantina right now.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right?
Well, with the Keep Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Video typically streams at DVD quality at 60 gigabytes. We reserve the right to review your account for usage in violation of Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
There are 2 ways to pour motor oil. The hard way, which can get messy. Or the easy way, introducing Valvoline in the new Easy Pour bottle, featuring a redesigned easy pull tap and spout and anti-glug tube. Now, the proven protection you expect from Valvoline is even easier to pour. Faster, cleaner, proven. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Valvoline, since 1866. Now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic and a filter for $33.99. Terms and conditions may apply.
Hey guys, is it time to get your hair in the game?
Time to claim your spot!
then it's time to check in online at sportclips.com/check-in for a fresh cut, legendary hot steam towel, and massaging shampoo. So do your hair a favor by checking in online and arrive just in time for your Sport Clips MVP haircut experience while you surround yourself with sports on TV. Get in line online at sportclips.com/check-in.
Time to claim your spot.
Save on your next oil change with 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter on sale now for the same price as Valvoline Conventional at $25.99. Extend the life of your vehicle and improve engine performance with Valvoline at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Whether your project is below ground, above ground, or you're just breaking ground, United Rentals has the equipment and tools you need. We rent, sell, and service everything from forklifts and backhoes to scissor lifts, trench shoring systems, and portable restrooms. We also offer a complete range of industrial tools and small equipment for any job, small or large. Count on United Rentals for the world's largest rental fleet, backed by a team of equipment experts ready to help you get the job done. For the branch nearest you, visit unitedrentals.com or call 800-UR-RENTS.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our All Your Favorites with a Few Surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Hey, Dave, I'm here for the training session.
Drop and give me 20, mister.
Wait, 20 what?
The company softball game is in 2 weeks, and we are not going to lose to those nerds in IT again.
I thought we were being trained on core competency.
Oh, we're training your core, all right. 20 burpees, go.
I hate burpees.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Welcome back to the Gym Class 352. Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann today and the rest of the week as Scott Unash enjoys a week of vacation here. He'll be joining us again on Monday. Josh and Ryan up there in Delaware County, appreciate you listening. And he is the winner today of the $30 gift card to La Cantina. And hopefully he enjoys some good beverages, food, what have you, at one of the three locations here in town. Again, thanks to Cal Eldred for joining us. If you missed it, podcast will be up shortly after the show, kgymradio.com. And that is where to locate our poll question today. We spent the first part of the show talking about it. It involves the home run derby last night and whether Bryce Harper and his father cheated during that competition. Yes or no. And right now it's unanimous that Harper and his dad did cheat.
Yeah.
Based on the question, I think he did. Was it the only team that did? Hell, I don't know.
Yeah, there's really no question whether or not he cheated. I think even at one point when he was making that final round, I think he even gestured at his dad to kind of tell him, just keep going. We're just going to do this. So, I mean, He cheated. It seems like they knew it. They kind of just decided that they were going to. And so there's really not much question as to whether or not he cheated. It's just whether or not you choose to care.
Cheated seems like a strong word, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially in the home run derby. You know, it's not like he was using a corked bat. That would be cheating, okay? And as it is, it's just kind of he hurried a little bit. And honestly, at the end there, he gives the trophy to his dad. And his dad's got a great beard, by the way. We haven't mentioned that a single time. Fantastic beard. It looks fake. But he gives the trophy to his dad, and he holds that up. And I just – that had to be such a great moment for his father. I, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that they should have been robbed of that moment because they threw a pitch too early.
And as you said earlier, Schwarber didn't have a beef.
No.
It was some Cub fans tweeting last night that their man got robbed or whatever.
Yeah.
Again, some folks thought maybe a home run or two, Schwarber might, and his pitcher might have, you know, been a little early. You can't go back and look at every single one of them.
Yeah, it's just not that serious, honestly.
A lot of people are talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, you're always going to have some people, you know, maybe you've got certain baseball fans who are just fans of their team. They want their guys to do the best no matter what, and you, that's probably who you're seeing say that Schwarber was robbed or whatever. But then the entire All-Star weekend and the event last night, that's about baseball. You know, that's just about having fun in a baseball setting. And, you know, even Schwarber, like you said, Schwarber was not upset about it. I'm sure he noticed. He didn't seem to care. He's just having a good time. So if those guys don't care, you know, who are we to care more than they do?
He was part of pretty good theater, I thought.
It was awesome.
Bottom line. But Major League Baseball All-Star Game tonight. Of course, 7 o'clock on KGYM frequency, 1600 AM, and the FM's 107.5, the North Gym, 106.3, the South Gym. Hope you enjoy the ball game, and then we'll get back to regular season baseball Friday. Cal Eldred's Kansas City Royals and the Minnesota Twins, start of a series right there. And then on the weekend, we'll have more baseball. We'll bring you up to date on that. Open Championship beginning on Thursday. Zach Johnson has a 7:15 a.m. tee time at Carnoustie in Scotland. He'll be paired with Adam Scott and Brendan Steele there. Of course, Zach won the 2015 Open Championship at St. Andrews, which is only a stone's throw from Carnoustie. So we wish the best of luck to Zach, who finished strong in the John Deere last weekend, had a big week with the Zach Johnson Foundation tournament. And between that and the heat and the humidity, I think he was pretty exhausted by the end of the week. Quick, Machado to the Dodgers?
I'm going to say I'm hoping for the Brewers. I mean, and they also have the power. They have the assets to pull it off. So I think if they decide to go all in, he could be theirs.
They're trading chips in Milwaukee.
Yeah. They've got a pretty healthy minor league system still left over from that Yelich trade. But I think that it would be stressful as a Cubs fan, but that would be some great drama in the National League Central for the second half of the year.
It would be interesting to see, and appreciate your interaction on the Hertine and Stocker Jeweler text line. Cajun Troy, haven't heard from her in a while, says she ran into George Brett on the D.C. airport yesterday. He looked good. How about that? Dave Kay on the text line, I seriously thought Harper's dad was the old closer in the Giants, Brian Wilson.
Yeah, that I'm telling you, that beard, it looked like it was plastic and just glued onto his face. It was so thick and so dark. Great beard.
Cajun Troy, someday we'll talk about my interaction with George Brett, and I try not to let it get in the way of my opinions, but let's just say it wasn't a pleasant experience. I'll leave it at that.
George Brett,
a wonderful player, who used a cork bat. It was kind of a, well, let's just stop there, as I tried to do an interview with him one time, and it didn't go so well.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
It might have been one moment in his life where he was off a little bit. Didn't want to talk to some punk reporter from he didn't even know, even though I wanted to talk to him about John Watson from Cedar Rapids.
Was he rude, or did he just not give you the attention you wanted?
He dismissed me.
Okay.
He dismissed me. Even though I said I was there to talk about our hometown guy, John Watson, the catcher for the Royals at the time, later on the manager there. That's neither here nor there. But tomorrow, Chris Liss on the Gym Class. Please join us.